San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
Good evening, everybody. I am not Joe. I am Richard. We sort of have a special lineup tonight. Joe's out of action, recovering from his sinusitis. I don't even know if I said that right. So we are Joe-less, but we have one of our esteemed sponsors, Michelle St. Clair, filling in as co-host with me, as the host of It's Your Money and Your Life. And we have a very special guest. But before we get to him, Michelle, I want to talk to you about an award that your company has been nominated for through Reality Changers. I guess we're going to know the results maybe early June. Reality Changers is actually an organization where we had its founder and CEO. It's a great charity here in town, Christopher Yanoff, who founded Reality Changers, a great charity that basically takes kids out of lower income areas here in San Diego who haven't had much experience in the family of getting kids into college and turns them into, shall we say, the first college student in the family. Essentially, the concept is to turn what otherwise might be gang leaders of the future into community leaders of the future from a lower socioeconomic neighborhoods here in San Diego, and had tremendous success. We've had a couple of his students on the show. Just amazing stories of resilience and how these families, you know, basically come from nothing to live the American dream, and their kids become college graduates and doctors and honor students. But Malin Burnham, who's also been a guest of the show, one of the all-time great philanthropists here in San Diego, along with Dr. Irwin Jacobs and some others, now has an award through Reality Changers called the Malin Burnham Awards, where different foundations and companies and so on are nominated every year for, shall we say, the most inspirational business or foundation or business leader, as the case may be. And Michelle St. Clair, one of our esteemed sponsors, you, of course, own Elite Lifestyle Management, and I saw where your company is a finalist for the most inspirational business here in San Diego. Is that correct?
That we are. We're very excited about that.
And I know there's a bunch of other businesses in there, but what we want our listeners to do, of course, is to go to realitychangers.org/Malin/. Malin is spelled M-A-L-I-N, and they can vote every day, right, Michelle?
They can vote every day.
So it's a lot like Chicago politics, where you can vote for your candidate every single day.
Until May 12th?
I think May 22nd. Until May 22nd.
No, I think it's May 12th.
Okay, you might be right. It's 22 days leading
up. The award ceremony is the 23rd.
You're right.
I'll keep you straight.
Keep me straight. That's what you're here for.
That's right.
Oh, esteemed co-host. So you go on there every day and you vote for your favorite business. Now, of all the strange things, my foundation, the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation, was also named as a finalist for the most inspirational foundation in town. We, of course, are the founders of the Oceanside Turkey Trot, now the 8th largest Thanksgiving morning charity event in the country. Can you believe that? Up in little old Oceanside, the 8th largest in the country.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. As the old joke goes, if it worked out, it must have been a plan, but we never intended it to grow that much, but it obviously has really struck a chord in that community. But Michelle, question, do you know what last month on April 5th was? Do you know what April 5 was in San Diego? Do you know what that day was? You probably don't, so just say no.
No.
Okay. On April 5th, a month ago, just over a month ago, April 5th was Move Your Feet Before You Eat Day in San Diego County as proclaimed by the San Diego County Board of Supervisors.
Wow.
So the county named that day here in San Diego after my little old foundation, which is now the 8th largest charity.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. So we did some cool stuff. We got a bunch of seniors from senior centers and paired them up with a bunch of students from the elementary schools around the county and went out to some public parks and did a scavenger hunt to get people to move their feet before they eat, and then, you know, had lunch with the seniors and the students all together. So it wasn't any real, you know, high heart rate kind of go out and run around the track 82 times kind of thing. It was, you know, scavenger hunt, a little bit of running, jogging, walking, find some things, do a contest. And it was really, really well received. That was on
April 5th. Where was my invite? I have little ones.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It all came up so fast. But you know what? You can drag them out to the Oceanside Turkey Trot Thanksgiving morning, because if they don't even want to do 3.1 miles, we have a kids 1 miler and a kids quarter miler that's an absolute blast. So how old is your oldest?
6. Well, so she's almost 7. We tried to do the color run last year, and it was kind of a joke.
Well, a 1 miler would be easy. And how young is your younger?
4.
So 1 mile are probably easy. If not, do the quarter mile. It's right on the Strand.
I ended up carrying the youngest one the last half. It was awful.
That's what moms are for. But it's right on the Strand, finishes right at the pier in beautiful downtown Oceanside, right at the beach. Sometimes if the king tide is up, we actually get some waves washing over the course, which the kids love. It's an absolute blast. And it's worth $40 to enter because I run the 10K at 7 o'clock in the morning for Sirius. And then at 8:15, I put on a 9-pound turkey costume, and I run the 5K in a 9-pound turkey costume.
I would pay just to see that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But speaking of physical activity and exercise, we have a very esteemed guest here in studio with us, and that would be one of the all-time great San Diego Chargers. I still call him that, Sean. I know. But that would be Mr. Sean Phillips. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming down. Now, you live in Los Angeles now, right?
Yeah, I live in Los Angeles, but I still have a place here in San Diego.
Okay. So you got to L.A. before the Chargers did?
Yeah, I've been there for about 3 years now.
Okay. So let me ask you, as a former Chargers player, was it shocking? Was it surprising? Did you know it was coming? Did you have good or bad feelings about it?
I kind of had an idea just because the stadium's pretty bad, you know, and I feel bad for the Spanos family and for the city of San Diego. You know, like everyone's frowned upon the Chargers. It's not the Chargers' fault. If you think back to what really got them in trouble, it's a lot of the, you know, it was a little corruption in the city that's going on, and lost a bunch of money that way. That city could have been in the stadium, you know. So
yeah, with the pension crisis, some other things going on with the city.
A bunch of different things, you know.
Bunch of things going on. And so now we have to call them the Los Angeles Chargers, which is hard for me to do. Although most people don't know this, but if you've been around for a while, they just started out as the Los Angeles Chargers one season in 1960. And then moved down to San Diego for the 61 season. That's before either one of you were born, obviously. And I was so tiny, I don't remember. But that's the truth. So they're back to where they started, which is really interesting.
I really think it's still close enough that San Diego fans could go support. I mean, if you look at St. Louis, they can't just hop in a car and drive and see their team anymore.
Right, exactly.
How do you feel about the move, Sean?
I mean, selfishly, I like it just because I live in L.A. You know, I'm a Charger fan, so I'm a root for the Chargers if they were in L.A. or anywhere else. So it's unfortunate because San Diego is such a great city. Now you're taking one of the, like, a big attraction away.
Yep.
But it is what it is.
Well, you know, the first couple of years are going to be in Orange County. It's not much more of those of us who live in North County, San Diego, to hop up to Orange County is about the same amount of time as it was to ride down south to Qualcomm, interestingly.
It's like a vacation within a vacation, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see. Interesting to see. But, Sean, briefly, a little bit about background about yourself, and I want to talk about less football and more about what you're doing now. But good. Just some brief background, where you're from, where you're born, where you went to school, how you found your way to San Diego, if you'd be so kind.
I was born and raised in Philadelphia. Went to college at Purdue, got a full ride to Purdue. Played 11 years in the NFL. San Diego drafted me out of college. Went back to school, went back and got my master's after I finished in the NFL at the University of Miami, and took me to L.A.
Cool. Purdue, were you there when Drew Brees was there?
Yeah, I played with Drew, so I've known Drew for a long time.
And you were a linebacker in the NFL, right?
Yes, I played 11 years linebacker, 9 years in San Diego, 1 year in Denver, and 1 year in Indianapolis.
Did you go to Purdue to be a linebacker, or did you play other stuff in high school, other positions?
In high school, I played football, basketball, track.
So
I played both ways on offense and defense. I even played both ways a bit in college. I played offense and defense in college, so it was fun.
Drew ever throw to you?
Yeah, Drew threw me a touchdown
in
Notre Dame one time. Yeah,
cool. You know, it's amazing to think that at one time we had both Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers as our two quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Couldn't keep them both. But.
And we had Darren Sproles and Michael Turner and Adanian Tomlinson all in the backfield as well.
All at the same time, you're right. That's pretty amazing to think about. You know, I think Brees, if he plays another couple of years, might wind up as the all-time most completions, most yards, most touchdowns, most everything.
Well,
he just piles the numbers up.
He's just he's a workhorse. He's always been that kind of guy. He has unbelievable work ethic, and he also lives right off the field, which also helps you on the field as well.
Yeah, and he does great philanthropic work here in San Diego. I know he's got his golf tournament out at Morgan Run every year.
Yep. Does a lot of work back at Purdue as well.
Yeah.
So he does a lot. Does a lot in New Orleans as well. So he's a stand-up guy, and you know, I'm proud to say he's a Purdue alumni and to call him a friend.
Any other Purdue alumni that you played with that we might know?
Of course, Nick Hardwick.
Oh, the Chargers' longtime center. That's right. He was Purdue about the same time as you.
He came out the same year as me. Yeah.
He had a long career here.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was at Purdue, he was a walk-on. He just switched three positions, and next thing you know, he was one of the first ones drafted out of all of us.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. That's right. Longtime center for for the not Los Angeles Chargers. Oh, it hurts to say that. And I'm not the biggest football fan in the world, but they were just an institution here in town. Hmm. And I guess that's the challenge. Plus, that means we're only left with the Padres. Oh, anyway, here's some music. We're going to take a quick break. It's Richard Musio and Michelle St. Clair and Sean Phillips with It's Your Money and Your Life. Everybody sit tight. We are going to be right back. That's a San Diego Supercharger song.
Got Sean dancing over there.
Yep. It still hits home for me.
I would imagine it does. You know, it's funny, speaking about running, last summer I ran the Chargers fundraiser 5K that started and finished at the stadium. And the only reason I did it is because I said, I bet this is the last one they're ever going to have. I just had this feeling. But the thing was running, well, we started near the back gate, you know, by the scoreboard, and that's where we finished. And then we went through the back doors and finished on the field. But running through that back parking lot, you literally were taking your life in your hands with the potholes to get out of there and get back in alive. That's how decrepit the thing had become.
The field's the same way.
The field's the same way. I mean, it's like you step in one of those things, you're going to break an ankle kind of potholes. And I'm like, wow, I didn't realize the stadium was that decrepit. Because I had no reason to go hang around the back of the stadium otherwise, you know what I mean?
The Oakland Raiders Stadium and the Chargers Stadium are just, and the old 49ers Stadium, they were just really bad stadiums. All, like, California is one of the best states, and we had the three worst stadiums.
Three worst stadiums, yeah, interesting. So you came here in 2004, you said?
Yeah, I came in 2004. I got drafted in the fourth round.
Okay. So the coach here then was Schottenheimer, right?
Yep, Marty, great coach, unbelievable coach.
So you played for just two coaches then,
I played
right?
for Marty and Norv.
And Turner.
Yep, Marty and Norv. And then when I went to Denver, we had Coach Fox.
Oh, sure? Yeah. He's got some San Diego roots.
Yeah, and we got Coach Pagano in Indianapolis.
John He's got Pagano. Some, yeah.
Yep. John Pagano's brother, so.
So can I ask you if you prefer Marty or Norv or one or the other, or can't you answer that?
No, I can answer it. I'm an honest person. I prefer Marty just because Marty was like more of a hard-nosed, iron-nosed football, just go rip their face off kind of guy. Yeah. Norv is more offensive-minded, you know?
Yeah, because I always thought of Marty as a defensive genius and Norv as an offensive genius, and of course you're on the defensive side of the
exactly.
ball.
Exactly. So that's the only reason. It was nothing against Norv. It was just more Norv's offensive guy.
Yeah. It's well, I know once Norv came here, it was like, well, if we can get to 40 points before they do, we might win the game.
Offense only won a couple of games. Defense wins them.
Yeah, I know. The defense won. Well, I mean, we've had some pretty good linebackers in town. You're obviously among the top. Junior Seau, obviously, at the top of the list.
He's definitely at the top.
But, I mean, I know Sean Merriman. Billy Ray Smith will tell you he's the greatest Charger in history. But I'm not sure Billy's being honest. But, I mean, 11 years as a linebacker, that's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Long time. I mean, I could have played another year, but I just felt like my services for league minimum wasn't advantageous for me.
Yeah. And did you ever have, I'm just curious, did you ever have any concussions?
Not that I know of. I mean, not that I remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you necessarily know? But what did you major in Purdue? I'm just curious.
I majored in business management.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that for a reason? Did you know you wanted to maybe go into business after?
I knew I wanted to go into business. And even during football, I've always thought I was a businessman until you really get into the door with the real businessman, then you realize you don't know much. So that's why another reason I went back to business school to make sure I had to refine my skills, because what I learned back in early 2000s is a lot different than now.
Sure. And then you said you got your master's at the U, as they call it?
Yeah, the U. Yes. I did 2 years at the U and did an executive program there, and it was one of the best things I've done so far.
Cool. And did your interest in business continue while you were playing? Did you start dabbling in some real estate or some other stuff? Or did you basically just have a career as a football player, and then when that was done, you said, okay, now it's chapter two of my life?
No, I've done real estate deals as I played.
Okay.
Some of them good, some of them bad, but I couldn't give them the attention that it deserved. So some of them were okay and some of them weren't. So those are my learning. That was my learning curve. Yeah, I used my money to have my learning curve, and I made my mistakes as I went just because I couldn't give it as much attention because I was trying to play football and I was trying to be a businessman. It's just really hard to do.
Yeah, well, I know football. You guys don't like take the off season off. You've got to stay in shape, train. There's always somebody who wants your job. It's a lot of work.
Yes, all the time. I mean, but that's the same thing in life, though. It's always somebody that wants your job. So it doesn't matter what profession is in. I mean, the NFL is still a profession. It's just like we're competitive, whether you're on the radio or on TV. Everyone's still competitive, and it's still a job.
Mm-hmm. So about 4 years ago on this show, we did a little film premiere, a documentary premiere down in Mission Valley. A young woman by the name of Teresa Moore, who's a filmmaker out of Boston, did a documentary called Fourth and Long. And her goal was to get that introduced into high school and college curriculums, particularly for athletes, not only football players, but all athletes, both male and female. But it did focus on football players. And the basic gist of the documentary was twofold. One, it was that everybody who plays sports in high school or college thinks they're going to make a ton of money going to the next level and being a professional, yet not even 1% get to do it. But even worse, particularly in football, careers tend to be very short, and unfortunately, many, many players who play for a few years, when they come out of that, they have a really, really hard time adjusting to, shall we say, more normal life, and even worse, did not do a very good job financially of putting anything away for a rainy day. So I highly recommend seeing that documentary, Fourth and Long. But when you started, did you think about, for example, things like, well, when I'm 30-something, most likely, maybe even younger, I've got to go out and do other things, that this isn't going to go on forever? Did you start planning that young?
It was in the back of my mind, but no, I didn't start planning. I mean, okay. I can honestly say I didn't start planning until the latter part of my career, whereas if I would have known the things that I knew now, then I would be, you know, I would be next level. And I did pretty okay with my financial situation just because through trial and error, and then I still went out and seek the knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
So they give us a bunch of money, but they don't equip us with the tools. But you have to take that responsibility yourself and go seek that information and go find that information for yourself so you can make the best decision for yourself.
I was going to ask, does the NFL provide any sort of program for transitioning out of?
They have a few things, but those people are... I don't know, like, for instance, I'm going to give my example. Like, I set up my estate and I set up my trust and I set up my financial situation, my financial picture. And so I said, let me contact who the NFL set up for so that we can ask questions to bounce ideas off of. And so I contacted this guy and I felt I knew 10 times more than him. So sure. I'm like, how are you going to, you got a guy that's making like $70,000 a year and I got a couple $1 million and he's right. going to tell me what to do with my finances. You know, like, it's hard to believe that, but that's why it's you to take the responsibility for yourself. Like, you have to go read a book. You have to go ask questions. You have to go seek the right advice and get the right advice from people and make the best decision for yourself.
And when you were in high school to college, I mean, was it just your 100% focus goal that you were going to be an NFL player?
Zero. I had no idea. Okay, I didn't know. I didn't start playing football till I was in 10th grade. Back in the day, like, I grew up, that when they talked about those impoverished kids, like, that was me. Like, I grew up in that impoverished neighborhood. My mom had me at 17. My dad was 19.
Okay.
Both high school. They both graduated high school. But, like, I struggled my whole life. And then football just happened to catch on. I don't know how I was good at it. I just happened to be good. I knew I was confident, and I knew I was athletic, and I knew I was competitive, and I hated losing. So all of those things kind of added up. Even I really wasn't in love with football until probably my sophomore, junior year of college.
Wow.
Because I just did it because it was a way out, and then I just happened to get good. And then I found out you could make some money doing it. I was like, oh, this is cake for me.
Boy, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Because I know a lot of young athletes just assume they're going to be the next great thing. They're going to make a ton of money. And it just, I mean, the odds of being successful or having a long career are like so, it's just, I mean, it's improbable.
That's why my friends joke, you know, they were like, that's probably why you were so good, because you never took it that serious.
Yeah.
And I took it serious, like, because my thing is I'm going to do my job. So I don't care what that is. So yeah. if I was sweeping the ground outside, I'm going to be the best at sweeping the ground outside. My responsibility is to do the best that I can be. And so that's all I did all the time, you know? And if you give your, no one's ever gave their all the time and just was like disappointed and they got bad results all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Well, one person, Charlie Brown, but he's fictitional.
Not in my mind.
And Lucy would never let him kick the football.
Charlie Brown's real.
He's real. Hey, we got to take a quick break. Get Your Money in Your Life with Sean Phillips and Michelle St. Clair. I'm Richard Musio. We're going to be right back after these commercials. So everybody sit tight. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, everybody, to It's Your Money and Your Life. And this is a time when we thank our wonderful sponsors. We could not do this show without our sponsors. We always start with ABC Law Group, Sharon Blanchet and Lisa Christensen, Family Law. Big thank you. Very much appreciate it, ladies, ABC. And then we go to UBS. We're very alphabetical, from the front of the alphabet to the back. UBS and Michael Caronta. Could not do this show without UBS and Michael Caronta. So big thank you to you as well. Also, our favorite CPAs on the planet. We actually have two groups of them. We have more traditional CPAs. That would be Polito Epic CPAs up in San Marcos. Tax returns, financial statements, those kinds of things that are absolutely necessary. Also, more specialized, Jason Kruger CPA with Signature Analytics. Signature Analytics is a CFO services firm. Does a great job of helping smaller to medium-sized businesses grow in an intelligent manner. Also, our great friend Joel Gruskin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Now, with all this money our sponsors make, if you need a great bank to stash that money in, that would be Mechanics Bank. Sean Puckett, of course, is the VP of the entire San Diego region. And Mechanics Bank is a really neat niche market bank that serves families that are wealthy and families that are in the real estate business. Those frequently go hand in hand, by the way. Also, Paul Hines. Paul, of course, is the CEO of Hearthstone Private Wealth Management. And Paul also heads up the Senior Safe and Sound.org initiative here in San Diego, helping to prevent financial abuse of the elderly. Tony Lombardi, the LG Experience in the Lombardi Group, helping wealth advisors make heroes out of CPAs to the CPA's very best clients. Also, the LG Experience has a great continuing education event for CPAs on June 19th, 20th, and 21st at the lovely Omni La Costa Resort. Neil Staley, Hub International, formerly known as Mars Maddox Insurance. Employee benefits is an ever-changing field. We don't know if Obamacare is going to stay or is it going to go. So if you need any help with employee benefits, we highly recommend Hub International. Geiger Law Office, Brenda Geiger. Right? Brenda Geiger is a great sponsor of the show. Just had a great continuing education event at the Loma Santa Fe Country Club, and she specializes in asset protection and estate planning. We're going to sort of change the order of how we do the sponsors. If you're hungry, we highly recommend Lestat's Coffee Houses. Three locations now, all of them fairly close to where Michelle St. Clair has her office. So Lestat's, great food, great music on Adams Avenue. Also the Berry Good Food Foundation with Michelle Lirac. We do a show every quarter about sustainability and other important issues related to food, healthy eating, and food waste and other issues surrounding food. And last but not least, my co-host and esteemed sponsor, Michelle St. Clair with Elite Lifestyle Management. Michelle, hey, you're quite capable of telling everybody about yourself, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, so ELM is a members-only concierge service, and we service individuals, and we also service corporations, and we provide a wide array of services, anything from booking travel to booking doctor's appointments, finding housekeepers, to booking elaborate trips around the world. So we kind of do any and everything for our members. And we service wealth managers as well that provide our service as a perk to their clients, which the Lombardi Group event that you just mentioned a few moments ago, I'll be speaking at that event.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be there too. And by the way, thank you for helping me find some lodging. I've got dinner coming up on August 3rd with Bocelli.
And, that's right.
So you were kind enough to find, a tree in an orchard in the middle of Tuscany for me to sleep under.
Yeah.
Has three stars, so that's about the best you can do in that rather remote region.
Well,
so really appreciate
he's
that.
He's coming into town, so everything out there is very booked.
Exactly. Well, Tuscany is very popular in August. But anyway. So Sean Phillips, thanks for being on the show. So when you were getting nearer to the end of your career, did you have to get really, really serious about the next stage? I mean, is that frightening? For example, I have a client who is a very well-known child actor. I'm not going to mention his name, who now sells life insurance. He said by the time he was 16 or 17, he was like in mortal fear of what the next stage of his life was going to be because he had lived a life that was like basically everybody's dream, and now he had to become like one of us normal people. Was that it for you too?
I wouldn't say it was fearful. I wouldn't say those were the things that scared me. Mine was more, I don't want to be a statistic like everyone, every other athlete and be bankrupt. And that was more my fear, to making sure I still had my financial situations put together. And once I was done with football, I was done. I mean, I just know that the bigger part of my life is from my 33 to from 33 to 83. You know,
your
that's a lot.
Your football career is not going to define you.
Yeah, that's not that. I'm trying to like steer away from that stereotype as much as possible now. You know, so I do what I can. Again, I'm still proud that I played football. It opened up a lot of relationships for me, and I would never trade it for the world. It's some of the most exciting times I had in my life, and I've met some amazing people, and it put me and my family in a situation to do a lot more. So I'm in a blessed situation so that I can bless others.
So was it hard on that first Sunday, the first year you were retired, when opening day happened and you weren't out there on the field? Or was that easy because you knew you weren't going to get
it was so
blindsided
easy.
By somebody?
Big exhale out.
I for sure had a beer. I for sure was eating a hot dog.
Okay.
You know, like I definitely wasn't mad at all in any way, shape, or form. I have a 15-year-old son who's a really good football player and basketball player. So I kind of could live vicariously through him. And I still watch football every Sunday. I'll watch every single game that's on. I'll call every single play out. I'm a student of the game. I love football.
But you never had a desire to go into coaching, for example?
No, they don't make enough money, and they work too many hours.
Yeah, I hear about, is it true, like the head coach has like a cot, you know, in the coach's office and never goes home during the season?
They work 12, 14-hour days, you know what I mean? I'd work 12, 14-hour days on what I love, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if I'm working 12, 14-hour days, I need to be making a lot more money than what they make.
Okay, so I got a football question for you. Were the Patriots lucky in the Super Bowl, or were they lucky? Are they really that good?
I mean, they just do a lot of things well. They're just a really solid team. They do a lot of things well, so much respect.
Because I was watching that game going, what on earth is the Atlanta coach and the Atlanta offensive coordinator doing with their clock management?
I forget. Like my brain, like I do forget a lot of things just because I've have played a long time.
Yeah.
And I was watching
concussion,
maybe. And I was watching a game, and I noticed they were down like 23-0. I forgot that they were down so much. Like, how do you lose that game?
Yeah, because I'm like, why would you pass there? Why wouldn't you just run like 40 seconds off the clock?
I have no idea.
I was like mortified.
If it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah, no, if it was easy, everybody would do it. But still, I was just like, wow, that was just some of those decisions. It was a fascinating game to watch, though, that's for sure.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. You don't have to be specific, like net worth and all that good stuff, but you seem to have an interest in real estate. Is that right?
Yeah, I do a little real estate. I mean, I was fortunate enough to make solid money while I played, mm-hmm. So I just kind of manage my assets. You know, I've done some high-end real estate deals. I've done some single-family. I've done some commercial projects and a couple private equity deals that I do as well. So I kind of dibble and dabble through everything and just manage it myself.
Do you like construction or development, or do you like things that are already done?
I do like development, but I'm starting to change my mindset, and I do like I like cash flow as well. So
yeah, I was going to say cash flow.
Yeah, my mind's starting to shift. I mean, because I have fun to liquid things, and I'm pretty stable, but cash flow would be good. I like cash flow.
Yeah, the joke with development is everything times two. The time you think it's going to take, times two. The amount of money it's going to cost, times two.
Well, I like that.
There's a times two rule in development, and it's sort of scary sometimes when you go in, because real estate has always fascinated me as well.
But the pressure is part of what makes the job, though. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when you're an entrepreneur, you don't really see it. It's just pressure. That's all. But some people can't respond to pressure. That's what separates.
Yeah, I think real estate is fun, just because you can also help people when you take something that's like really run down and you create something new and beautiful out of it.
And that's something, you know, I partnered with Larry English. He used to play here in San Diego as well. He's one of my, we partner on a lot of deals. And so that's one of the things we're doing in Chicago. You know, we're doing single family houses in Chicago, but we're trying to bring along the whole neighborhood.
Right,
we know
exactly.
That Chicago is a pretty rough neighborhood, and Larry's from Chicago. And what better way to start cleaning up the neighborhood, start getting people in there that want to do something better with the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's good for everybody who's in the neighborhood, and it just makes people's lives better. Hey, I hear that music again. We've got three quarters down, fourth quarter. Here we come. Hopefully we'll have a better fourth quarter than the Atlanta Falcons did. So everybody sit tight. It's Your Money, Your Life is going to be right back. Hey, we're in the fourth quarter of It's Your Money, Your Life. We are Joe Becky Oles. My co-host is recovering from his sinus condition.
Fake sinus condition?
Yeah, his fake sinus condition. He's probably out laying at the beach because it's like 83 degrees outside today, right? Boy, it is gorgeous outside. But it's Richard Musio with one of our great sponsors and finalists for the Madeline Burnham Award. That would be Michelle St. Clair, and our special guest, John Phillips. 9 years here in San Diego as one of the all-time great San Diego Charger linebackers. So, Sean, you said you enjoy watching your son play football. Is it hard to watch, though, knowing what they know now about concussions and head injuries and stuff, or do you not really think about that?
No, you know what you signed up for. That's my thing. You signed up to play football. It's a contact sport. I mean, I play for the contact.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the helmets are better. And
not really. The helmets make it even worse because now you're like
–
Yeah, just because, like, for me, like, we was taught that, like, you should go, like, take your helmet and, like, run it through their face.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, like, if you look at rugby, like, they don't really have too much of that because they don't hit each other in the face too much.
Yeah, because they don't wear helmets.
Yeah.
So they keep the head out of the action. Smart. Do you think your son wants to be a football player or a basketball player?
Yeah, he loves football. He's a football player. He goes to one of the top schools in Texas. He goes to Katy High School. They're, like, top
couple. Oh, sure, I've been to Katy, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. He plays for a big-time program, and he's a big-time part of their organization.
Okay,
so.
What position?
Outside linebacker.
Just like his dad?
Yeah, unfortunately. I wish he'd just go be the president or something like that, but he just doesn't want to. He wants to play football.
But, you know, that only lasts until your mid-30s at best, so he's got plenty of time to do something next.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Plenty of time. Boy, I mean, that's not a long career for most people. I think I read where the average career of an NFL player is like 3.1 years or something. Is that
close? It is. That's what kind of hinders us, you know, because like someone like, you know, for instance, an accountant, they get to get 10 years in their craft so they perfect their craft, you know, or become a master of their craft. You know, for the last 11 years, I only was playing football, so I'm a master of football. So it affects other parts of your life, you know, so that's why it's good to have good friends and good mentors. And that's what I think the NFL needs the most, is to try to partner people up with actual mentors that mm-hmm. can help teach them good habits, as opposed to just saying, hey, here's some financial advisor that selling you false information.
Right. So have you talked to any high school athletes or college athletes about their experiences?
Yeah, I do. I talked to some underprivileged kids. I just got on the board of Inspirement Tribe, so it's a new organization and foundation. I guess they're teaching cognitive learning to 5 million people. They have in Arizona. Now they're coming to California. So I'll be on their board. A girl named Tyree Dillingham, who's actually here based in San Diego.
Okay.
She's the president of the organization, and she's been, you know, working hand in hand with me so we can figure some things out on how to work together.
Yeah, that's cool, because I think it's really important for kids to have realistic expectations coming out of school.
Well, I think that a lot of those people don't have role models, or they only see the like glitz and glamour of social media.
Exactly.
Somebody like, hey, I'm on a private plane, or I'm on a boat. Like, you know, like people worked hard to get to those places. Even the most successful people, they only see them at the top. They don't see like the grind that they put in. Like, it takes a lot of work to get to the top.
But to me, the real heroes are firefighters and school teachers and nurses and people just down there in the trenches every day.
Yeah.
Helping people to have better lives.
And those people don't get enough credit, you know? So those are the people, like you said, are in the trenches day in and day out. Teachers as well, and, you know, people like that.
So a quick question. Are you at your playing weight, above, below?
I'm about 10 pounds down right now from my playing weight. I feel like I'm at a good weight. My body type, I'm like a 240, 250 kind of guy.
What do you do in terms of staying in shape or working out?
I just stay active every day. I try to get at least 60 minutes in. So whether it's some form of cardio or workout class or Soul Cycle or baseball or men's league. So I just literally do something every day.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Michelle St. Clair, what do you do?
Oh, come on.
Come on.
You're
looking like you're in good shape.
I think my microphone's broken.
You look great. Arms look great. I noticed that.
I work out when I can. I like yoga and bar.
Oh, yeah.
Actual bar.
Not going
to the bar. All that too. But
you don't like going to the bar? I love going to the bar.
Both. I like both bars.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Well, again, I'm the founder of the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation. So if I don't exercise during a day, I get really cranky. Not good to be around me if I didn't work out or run 8 miles or something crazy. But I don't know. It just gets, I guess, something you get used to. And that's why you encourage people to go do that, especially in the morning. I think for me, I don't know about you, Sean, do you like working out in the morning? Because for me, it clears my head and lets me be more productive.
I kind of mix it up. Sometimes I might want to sleep in. Or sometimes, whatever.
Sleep in? What's that?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll sleep in and I'll work later.
Michelle's
sometimes
laughing.
Sometimes I'll sleep in and work
what
late.
What is sleeping into you?
Yeah. Sleeping into me is like 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Whoa. I made it to 5:30 the other day, and I was proud.
What time do you go to sleep?
About 10, 10:30.
Yeah, see, I'm more like a midnight person.
Okay, yeah, I go like 7 straight hours. Then
I'm only 35. I still got like a social life and things like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah, I don't have a social life. I just work and run. But so, Sean, if you were talking to a young college player who was coming out of college now, thinking he's going to have a really long, great, successful career in the NFL, what would you tell him?
I would say
mind your money. And second, I would say clean life, clean mind, clean career, and just do things the right way. Just do things right.
You know, I read a really fascinating thing that Bill Belichick said the other day, and he wasn't talking about athletes. He said that there is way too much emphasis now on technology and social media and not nearly enough emphasis on relationships. And I noticed you've mentioned relationships about 3 times.
It's very important. I mean, teamwork. Yes, you have to be somewhat selfish in your own personal growth, but it does take a team of people to help you out. So, like, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Some people just, they refuse to ask for help. They're like, I got to do it myself. Yes, you have to do it yourself, but how else are you going to have a game plan, or how else are you going to, what are you going to model it after? Because otherwise you just run aimlessly. So for me, I've learned as I got older, these are mistakes that I've made that I've learned. Partner with the right people, JV with the right people, and really seek those people out and try to get referrals so you can be around good people and to work with good people, because it makes it that much more worth it. Because I've definitely been in bad relationships before, whether it was with a girlfriend, a friend, or a business partner. Mm-hmm. I've learned to filter all that out, and that's why I have an abundance of happiness now, and I enjoy working with the people that I work with.
I love that. Actually, one of the charities that I'm involved in called the Collective Access, they do is they teach children not only entrepreneurial skills, but the importance of networking and creating long-lasting relationships.
I'm a firm believer in health, wealth, love, happiness. You know what I mean? You need all those things. And I kind of just put everything in that bucket, and I just stay within that area, whether it's my friends, my workout, my eating right, my entrepreneurship. You know what I mean? I just kind of mix all of those things within each other.
Yeah, and one of the cool things about this show, we're the only financial show that never really talks about money or assets specifically. We talk about health, knowledge, people, relationships, collaboration, community involvement, philanthropy, legacy, all of the things that we think make people truly wealthy. All the money in the world isn't going to make you have a great life if you're really ill and all of your kids are drug addicts and everything else is going sideways. And I think that's why we've attracted some attention on this show, is we've done a good job of defining what true wealth is.
Mm-hmm. If the two biggest stresses in life for adults is health and finance, it's always people like, hey, I'm too fat, or I don't have enough money, then why don't we teach more about that? Or why aren't we spreading more about that within our school system or within our parents, within our households, or within our community?
Yeah, I agree totally. So, Sean, a couple of football questions. The hardest running back you ever had to tackle to bring down?
Probably Jamal Lewis. Jamal Lewis is a pretty tough guy.
Oh, yeah, he was a big tank. And hardest quarterback, most elusive quarterback to try to sack?
Probably Peyton, just because he throws the ball so fast.
Oh,
I wouldn't say he's elusive. Him and Favre, what's his name? Brady. Just throw the ball so fast.
Yeah. So question, as a defensive player, did it sort of aggravate you that all of the rule changes in football seem to favor the offense? Like if you happen to breathe on a wide receiver as he ran by you 10 yards past, they might throw a flag?
Offense puts seats in the stands, so that's what sells the ticket. So it's going to always be that way. It's never going to be fair.
Hey, the man tells the truth. But I was thinking, it must be really tough being a defensive back these days.
It's definitely the hardest position to play.
Yeah, no question. Hey, Sean Phillips, really appreciate it. Michelle St. Clair, thanks for filling in for Joe.
Thank you so much for having me. So
much more pleasant than he is sometimes. Oh, Joe, I didn't say that. Justin Hart, thanks for being on the board as always. Dave Sniff, Craig Blanke, couldn't do it without the whole speak about collaboration. We've got a whole team here supporting us. So really thank everybody. Also, Courtney Holst with our award-winning website at iymoney.com. Very much appreciate that. Everybody tune in next week for It's Your Money and Your Life. We'll see you then.